Hi there, everyone. I'm Gracie Branch, and I'm the Associate Executive Director for Professional Learning at NASP. And I have the pleasure today of moderating today's chat. And I want to introduce you to our esteemed panel of women leaders that we have for you today. We have Kimbrell Barbosa-Lewis. Kimbrell is NASP's president-elect. She's also the principal at Cordova Elementary School in Cordova, Tennessee, which is near Memphis. We also have on our panel today, Cass Nelson. Cass is the NASP director for Zone 8. She is the principal at Visai Elementary in Visai, Oklahoma, which is located in the western portion of Oklahoma. And then rounding out our panel today is Jessica Gomez, and Jessica is the principal and chief storyteller of Alice Birney Elementary School in Colton Joint United States District, Colton, California, which is actually near San Bernardino. Is that correct, Jessica?
Correct.
Great.
That's California.
So we're going to open up today and let each of our panelists kind of share their story on leadership and how they maintain that balance in being a principal of a school, being a woman leader, and then trying to maintain that balance between their personal and professional life. So let's start with you, Kimbrell.
Hi, everybody. Thanks again for joining us. I'm really thrilled to be able to talk with you today, and we'll go ahead and get started. The first thing that I wanted to talk about is operating your priorities. It's really very challenging every day as principals to have a balancing act, and as I've said before, I don't have a balance, but it's what I always strive for. The most important thing, I think, is to define your role as a leader. Russell Quaglia wrote that the challenge of where and how to spend one's time is a leadership puzzle. And as principals, we have to lead with a voice, increasing our efficiency and effectiveness every day. And part of that is prioritizing and leading through collaboration. So that brings me to the next part of this. We're still on the same slide. In order to still be effective, after we define our role as the leader of our school and what that includes, we know that we can't do it all. So we've got to share our leadership and be collaborative with our team. A big part of that is we listen to everyone on our school community. We set up a model for learning for all of us and how that will work with leadership for all of us. So as we share in our leadership, we build trust amongst our faculty and staff. And it makes it a little bit easier. Our jobs are not easy, but a little bit easier to continue in the role that we're trying to develop for ourselves. One thing that I'm constantly learning is that we negotiate our avenues to our destination, but not our destination. So in defining our role and sharing leadership with others, we ultimately have the goal of supporting our students and ensuring that our students have everything they need to be the best learners possible. So we can't compromise that and everything that comes up every day. We can take different avenues to that, though. There are times that I'm going to have to stop something that I'm doing for the day, but I still have to accomplish the goal that I've set for that day to support my students and teachers. So it may come about in a different way than I planned, and sometimes it's hard for me as a planner to negotiate the avenue, but that's the only way that I see that I can continue to be effective in my role. We'll go to the next slide. So, personal development. One thing that we often do as leaders is because we're supporting everyone else, we sometimes forget to develop ourselves. We forget sometimes the ways that we connect with others in order to support our faculty and staff and our students. So, there are three ways that I see as the most effective ways to do this. Professional growth through connections. We're all here today connected because of NAESP. And I remember when I first became an NAESP member as a first year brand new assistant principal, I had no idea how many connections I could make through the organization. So professional growth through connections is so important. It lets us know we're not isolated, especially as women in leadership. We're not alone. And it gives us some more tools to reach out and to continue to grow. Stretch yourself. I have to tell you that I am by nature an introvert. And so being a part of this webinar even is, it may be a stretch for some of you. It may be difficult to, because you may be used to making connections in one particular way, but we have to stretch ourselves to explore other avenues. So doing webinars, participating in webinars, three of us that are on this panel today, we each may have known each other in different ways, but we all connected because we actually did a presentation together at the conference. But be willing to stretch the way that you grow as you continue to develop. And then redefine what professional learning looks like. There are times that we may not be able to travel, but you can log on to a webinar. You can do a Twitter chat. You can engage in reading articles that are just small snippets. There are times that we want to do a whole book study, but we may not have that amount of time in being instructional leaders, but there may be a particular chapter that speaks to where you are and your growth and that can support you. So redefine what you see as professional learning. Be flexible with it. Utilize technology to support that as well. We'll go to the next slide. This is so important to me in working with my school community, that we link up with the broader community. Sometimes because we often are leaders and we may work at the work in isolation, but we're striving to work in shared leadership, we need to think about our community connections. Each year, each semester, we partner with our community in one or two ways. So in order to continue to grow, I want my students to know what it is to give back. So we may partner with Susan G. Komen for breast cancer awareness. And so we may go out, we may volunteer, we may do the run, we may do the race. And while we're helping others, we're also improving ourselves. We're in Memphis, so we also are always sure to give back to St. Jude and foster that giving in our students. So we not only give financially, but we go and we volunteer. We support those who are doing the race if we can't do the race, but we always connect back, and it models for our students what giving is and what part of the balance is to not only working each day, but also giving each day. And finally, you time and time for your family. I would say that I'm not a runner. I strive to exercise more than I do, but I am really, really stretched, as many of you are, but what I find the most important is me time and family time. There are times that I set aside to where work is not going to infringe on that family time. We are often tasked with having our cell phones, our personal cell phones available for district calls, but I do lock in that family time. As a principal, often when school is out, I'm still working because we're 12 months, but I reserve vacation time to be off most of the time that students are off over holiday breaks, so that I can spend time with my family, so that I can focus on some of the things that personally mean a lot to me, and you can't neglect it. Setting aside the time for just you and just your family.
So, Kimberly, you have a policy or kind of rule when you think about that in relation to communicating with your teachers when it's at night or over the weekend? Because I know I was really cognizant of that, that if I wanted that time, to make sure that I gave them that time too.
Right. So one thing that we talked about in our presentation this summer is I, on my phone, have a do not disturb at specific times of the night. So I found as an assistant principal many years ago that each time, and I really understand where teachers are coming from, they want to let you know as soon as possible when there's an emergency or when they won't be able to be there during the day. But each time I got a call at 4 a.m. or 2 a.m, I wasn't able to get back to resting. Or if I were out at a birthday for my child, I wasn't able to to totally be devoted to the teacher or to the school or to family. So I practice using that Do Not Disturb app on my phone. There is a specific time that my phone will not ring or chime so that I can reserve that time for what's needed at home. And again, I am sure to slate days when students are out that I'm also going to be out. And I will put a response in my email that I'm currently away and how they can get support if I'm away or if the school is closed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jessica, Chief Storyteller, so share your story with us.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is Jessica Gomez. I'm the principal of Alice Burney Elementary School here in Colton, California. And I call myself the Chief Storyteller because I am very active on Twitter and Instagram on a personal level, but also on for our school because we, you know, if we don't tell our story, somebody else will tell it for us. So, which is why I take that title very seriously. But I do want to talk a little bit about, start off with the concept of self-care and not only your body, but your mind as well. So the whole person, right? The mind and body. And, sometimes it's difficult to encapsulate the things that you do into words. And actually I came across, an Edutopia article by Jessica Cabine and I was reading through it and I thought, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I wanted to say. So I took some of her concepts and really put it into what I do on a daily practice. And the first thing that she talked about was finding connections. Connect with those people, whether it be via online, through Twitter chats, in person. Think about if in your district, if you happen to have other colleagues that you can connect with, but find a way that you can find, that you have people to go to that are your supporters, that you can vent to, that you can ask questions to, that you can bounce ideas off of. Because when you have those connections, you won't feel like you're isolated and that you're by yourself. And that keeps your mind healthy. Because when you're taking tons and tons and tons of things onto yourself and you don't have anyone to share it with, it can really eat at your mind and really become an overwhelming thing. The second thing that she talked about was reading to learn. When you expose yourself to literature and you read on best practices there's so many great books out there that the more you read, the more you expand your mind, the more you're going to start to realize like, okay, I got to change some things to keep my mind healthy. I got to change some things to keep my body healthy. And if we're not reading and growing, it's going to be very difficult to find that balance of mind and body when we're not expanding our understanding of what that means. And that allows you to get a fresh perspective, but it allows you to share your learning with your staff too. You think about, you want to be that model. So what a great way to be able to share with your staff in a bulletin or in an email and say, hey, you know, I just was reflecting on this concept that I learned, and you can share that and be the model for them as well. And then also thinking about building in routines. So I teach a spin class twice a week at 24-Hour Fitness, and that's like a commitment. I mean, that's an appointment on my calendar. So I have people depending on me to be there. So that keeps me accountable. Also, I love any of you do Orange Theory. The concept I love Orange Theory.
Now, I haven't since my move, but
okay. Well, there's one right down the street. There's one right down the street. But the concept of that is you have to sign up for the class. And if you don't make it to the class, they charge you $12. So I do not want to end up paying $12 every time for canceling. So it keeps me accountable. And so that gets built into my routine like an appointment. So that's like from the exercise perspective. But also think about what kind of routines you have in place to meet up with friends, to, like Kimberl said, to make time for your family. Do you set aside Saturdays or Sundays where that is what you do on those days? What are those routines? Because when they become routines and habits, they become things that you end up doing, as opposed to maybe here, maybe there, and then it didn't happen tonight. Oh, shucks, I didn't get to work out, or I didn't get any downtime for myself. But find those passions and calendar time in for you as well. Like Kimbrell said, it's very important to find time for your passions. So that's my advice on that. So we can go to the next. And the next piece of the leadership that I wanted to talk about was, how do you grow professionally? And one thing that I've learned is that your reputation follows you. So your reputation, no matter where you go, will open up opportunities for you, but can also close doors for you, depending on the reputation that you have. And the only way to truly be who you are is have a well-defined true north. What is that star, that north star, that you lead from? And be yourself and stay true to your own message. Just because the colleague next to you has been successful with the person that they are doesn't mean you have to be just like them. You have to be who you are, or else it's not going to come off as sincere. You can only hold on to an act and a persona for so long. And think about what reputation you want to be known for. And the only way to do that from a sincere place is to be who you are and find the beauty in your uniqueness, because that's so important to always lead from that true North Star.
Good advice.
Yes. And to continue with that, with the reputation, think about your reputation and your branding. So who you are, right, is your reputation, but what you want people to see you as is how you're going to brand yourself. So think about, how involved are you in professional organizations, your state organizations, or your national organizations like NAASP. Think about your online presence. What does your online presence look like? Are you active on Twitter? Are you sharing ideas? Are you celebrating others? Are you involved in any philanthropic efforts? What does that say about you? Because when you're thinking about your next move or your future career, all of this is going to follow you. And it should be easy for others to say, oh, that's what she's about, because you have set yourself up in a way and you've shared things that you want other people to see you as. And that's very, very important as you go and get involved in new opportunities. And like Kimbrell says, stretch yourself. And it's not easy, and it's frightening. It can be a scary thing. Like, I've never done such a thing, but you know what? You're going to just jump in and just take a stab at it. You never know what will come from it. I mean, amazing things have come from just, getting set up with, on Twitter chats and Voxer groups. And then here I am with these amazing leaders on this webinar who I would have never guessed this opportunity was going to be available for me.
Well, Jessica, did you first meet Cass in the Principal Says Moms Boxer group?
So, I think it's been 4 years, something like that, 3 or 4 years. And I was in a Twitter chat, and I can't even remember. I don't remember what Twitter chat it was. And she's on this group. Hi, Liz. Liz Garden. Liz Garden reached out to me and said, hey, on Twitter, do you want to be part of this Moms as Principals group that we're starting? I said, sure, why not? I had no idea what that meant, and I didn't know what Voxer was. And so, everything just skyrocketed from there. I have connected with so many ladies and now gentlemen too, but we have created such a strong network that it's just amazing. And then Cass became part of that that network, and it's just, right. Our field is huge, but it's small. You know what I mean? So everyone kind of at some point ends up connecting with one another. But I have a quick story I wanted to share. So some of our principals have the opportunity to work with coaches. And one day I was asking my superintendent, how do I get a coach? You know, because I always want to grow and I want to get better. And he said to me, I don't know if you're, I mean, everybody can use a coach, but just, you know, I think you have what you need right now. The fact that you're connected with so many people, you will probably get so much from your network Voxer, because I talk to these ladies every day, or, you know, at least I'm listening or chiming in through Twitter, through Facebook groups, through Instagram, that, you know, he pointed out a great point to me, saying, you know, you have a lot of support there, that you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine without a coach right now, because I have so many coaches across the state from the country that I'm learning from, and it's pretty amazing. And so I truly, truly, truly encourage you to get active on any of these platforms, because it will truly change your life.
Thank you, Jessica.
And if you can go to the next slide. And just reminding us how to build those women up who are around us, even if they're not physically around us, even virtually through, like, for example, like my mom's as principals groups, we're constantly celebrating one another and building each other up, because we need that. We need that. But you're going to start that with leading by example, and think about what that means to you. I think about it as publicly celebrate her successes. It's not a competition from woman to woman. It should be an uplifting and celebrating the accomplishments that we each are making. And be her cheerleader. Be the one that speaks highly of her and recommends her, because you know her, and say, you know what? I might not be able to do it, but I know somebody who does, because she's amazing. And create opportunities for her to shine. So if I'm in a position to create an opportunity for someone to shine, I'm going to create that opportunity for them if I'm have that platform, and help remove obstacles for her. If there's something that you can do to help a colleague, to help a friend across the nation, then reach out and do that, because you would want all of these things. You would want somebody to do for you. And if you lead by example, it's going to come right back to you.
Absolutely.
Yes. And I think that's all I got.
Okay. Yeah. Pass Nelson, it looks like you're up.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm so glad to be here. And I just want to give you a little bit of a glimpse of my story, or what I often refer to in social media as the hashtag Nonstop Nelsons. I am in my 12th year as a principal, and not only that, my husband is the superintendent of our district, so that gives us a little bit of a different spin as far as how involved we are in school. I am at a small rural school in Oklahoma. It's in Visakhia, Oklahoma, and so because of this, I do wear several different hats. I drive a bus. I have been known to be the custodian. Just you name it, any of the programs that we do, I'm involved, or I'm leading that. So that puts a little bit different spin to my leadership style as well. In addition to my work at Visakhia Elementary with 200 kiddos that I have three kiddos of my own who attend our school. So I'm blessed to have still our littlest one is in second grade. So he's still in my school, and the other two are in the junior high and high school. But that also puts a little bit different spin to my leadership. So that's just a little picture. And these ladies, Kimbrell and Jessica, have done an amazing job at talking about things as far as women in leadership. And so I don't want to repeat or waste your time to repeat some of the things that they have said. So I'm going to try to add in or give some tips on things that I do. I am not a professional balancer. I really say I stink at it every day. but it's something that we have to be able to do. We have to be able to manage our school life, our home life, our children, and all of the things that moms and leaders do so that we can have our sanity. So I'm just going to give you a few tips as we go through the slides as well. So first of all, something that I have had to learn how to do is prioritize, because with all of the different hats that I wear, all the different things that I do, when I first became a principal, it was really overwhelming. So I can tell you from experience that that was something that I needed to do for myself, was prioritize. Not only did I have to think about the goals for my school and our mission, but things that I wanted to stay, like Jessica mentioned, stay true to myself, So I had to think about those things as well. Decide what is important in your leadership and make those priorities every day. Some of those that are my priorities would be lifelong learning. So I'm constantly, that's something that's important to me. Being visible in my school, that's very important to me. Reading to my classes. So those are things that I make sure that they are priorities on my schedule. Developing relationships, of course. I like to spend time with my kids, and we dance to music in the morning. And those are times that I don't like to have interrupted during my school day because they're very important to me and to making our school a happy place. So I would say, first of all, prioritize and find out or decide what is really important to you, and then do those things with a passion. Also, simplify tasks. Kimbrell talked about sharing leadership, and that is so important. Simplify some of the tasks that you have, that you have to do on a daily basis. Maybe you can share that with a secretary or an assistant or with a teacher leader. All of that helps you stay sane as well. I use technology. As I mentioned, a very small school, so I've got my secretary, and she is amazing. Like, I could not live without her, but I use technology a lot to help me simplify my tasks. I will use Google Keep. I don't know if everyone's familiar with that, but if you're not, it's just like post-it notes on your phone. So simple and easy to use, and I put my top three things I need to get completed during the day in my Google Keep every day, and I know at some point, because we all know as principals, like Kimbrell talked about, things may not happen just as we had scheduled them to happen that day. But when someone comes in or someone needs support, or we have, we have a fire drill or we have a change in schedule, I can go back to that list and say, these are the three things that I know I need to get done at some point during the day. So it just helps me stay focused. Another example would be I use Evernote or Voxer to give feedback to teachers. So it's more built into my observations and time in classrooms so that I can quickly do that and get that back to them. The third point on this slide, grow your PLN. Both of these ladies have talked specifically about this, so I think you all can see how important that is to women in leadership and to everyone, really. Absolutely. Reach out. I can tell you, as an NAESP member, I really begin to have a benefit when I begin to attend the national conference. I met so many people there and made so many connections, and ultimately, that is where I got on Voxer. Conference I went to, Adam Welcome was there, and he said, Cass, you need to get on Voxer. And then the rest is history. I've made so many great connections, and can learn from people, can take ideas and tweak them to what works in my school. So growing your PLN, no matter whether that's through attending a conference, maybe your state conference is a great place to start, certainly the national conference, through social media, like we talked about, Voxer and Instagram and all of those, Twitter, those are great places to grow your PLN, and it really is a game changer.
A question about, is there a way to join the Moms as Principals group? And didn't you all do that through Voxer?
Yes, we do. And I think Jessica, are you an admin of that?
No, actually, Lindsay Stumpenhorst, I think, is the admin.
Okay.
So I was going to type in, but I think the best way to, first, you have to have Voxer, first of all, of course. And then secondly, you can either probably just send us a message, email or Twitter or something, and then we can forward that to Lindsay. And I don't know what she does on her end, but she kind of takes control of that.
Yeah.
And Voxer, somebody asked how you get that.
Sure. Voxer is a free app. So you can just go to your app store or Google Play, download that. You need an account. It is free, and there is a free, you don't have to pay to have an account on Voxer. You can ought to pay, but you do not have to, especially if you're not going. I use it with my staff, so I'm a pro user. I pay for that service so that I can send out to several different people, but you don't have to do that. So you would download the app Voxer. You would create an account, and then, if, like Jessica said, if you just want to send your handle is kind of what we call it, then we will get you hooked up in the Moms as Principals group.
And just to, if you don't mind, Cass, just to kind of elaborate on Voxer, it's like a walkie-talkie app. So the best part about Voxer is the fact that people will leave a message and share something, and you listen to it when it's convenient for you. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning, whenever it is, you can listen to it at any time. You can send private Voxer messages. So if you think about, like, on your drive home, if you have a long drive home or a significant amount of time, it's a great time that I catch up on Voxers. But also it's a great time, instead of texting, it's a great way to just send a quick voice message to somebody. I've used it with my staff as well, so that, you know, sometimes you're running and you're walking, and so you don't have time to stop and text, but you can walk and talk at the same time. And you have a lot of options on whether you want to be alerted, whether you don't want to be alerted on certain groups, because some groups are really big, and so otherwise it'd be, chirping all day long. So I have the alerts off on some, and I check it when I get a chance. So it's, you have complete control of what it's going to be for you.
Yes. And you can include photos in there. You can just type text there. Yeah. It's very flexible, and user friendly. Yeah. Okay. I have one more point on that slide. Honor, if you'll go back for just a minute. The last point is to spread joy and laughter in your professional role. I can't stress this enough, because one thing that stuck with me that my grandmother always used to say was laughter is the best medicine. Mm-hmm. And we all know that at school there are stressful times. We are under a lot of stress. Things go flow rather rapidly at school sometimes. And if you aren't able to stop and find the joy in whatever the moment is, or even laugh a little, then you're going to have a hard time finding balance. That's just the simple truth of it. So whenever possible, I try to spread joy at school. I try to spread joy with teachers. We laugh a little bit. I always have a funny clip or something humorous from YouTube that I'll play for my teachers at our teacher meeting, just to lighten up the heaviness of some days that we have at school. So spread joy and laughter. I promise you'll, I did an activity. I have to share a quick story. I did an activity with my teachers, not too long ago. If you smile at someone, that they can't help but reciprocate that? Like, you cannot frown at a smile. Mm-hmm. And you should try it. I'm being honest here. You should try it with your staff, because you can't. And I've done it with kids too, and they love it. They try to frown, but you cannot do it. So spread joy and laughter. Okay, now we're ready for the next slide. Okay, in your personal role, just a few tips, because we've talked about some great ways to self-care and to make sure that we're being healthy. But just a few more tips to add to that. I try to fill my feed, my stream, my social media, everything that I see, with some sort of positivity. So I have positive quotes on my phone. I have positive things in my office. I follow people who share positive things. I follow people like John Gordon, who's constantly putting something positive, that if I scroll past that, I can't help but go, okay, this was for me today. I need to be, more positive, or this helps me reframe this situation. So try to fill your feed with positivity and your interactions as well. That's so important to staying balanced, or to trying to stay balanced. Another point here with self-care and wellness, you can't pour from an empty cup. That's something that I constantly am repeating to myself. And I'm going to take a moment and just talk a little bit about how I take care of myself and fill my cup. I am not a runner. I would say I'm not a runner. I didn't enjoy it as a child, but a few years ago, I wanted to be more healthy. I wanted to take care of myself and challenge myself just a little bit. So I had been running here and there, a couple miles, a few days a week or so. And I came across the Runner's World Streak Challenge. And that happens 2 times a year. One's getting ready to start, I think, or just started, Thanksgiving to New Year's, I believe. And then from Memorial Day to the 4th of July. But it's like a 40-day challenge, run every day at least a mile. And so I did that. I decided, well, I'm just going to try to do that for 40 days and see if that, you know, changes my health in any way or makes me feel better if I have any positive effects from it. And so I started that, and this was several years ago, and I didn't make it. So in 2015, long story short, I decided to try it again. And so I'm still continuing that streak now. And I'm not telling you this so that you will say, oh gosh, well, she's been running for almost 5 years every day straight. There's no way I can do that. No. What I want you to understand is that if you find something that makes you feel good, where that you can use as a stress reliever, that you can use as my time, it doesn't have to be running. It can be walking. It doesn't have to be health related. It can be reading. It can be spending time with family. It's just something that you need to do to prioritize. We heard that, or not prioritize. I'm trying to think of the word that Kimbrell used earlier. But something that you need to do that, takes care of you. That's the most important thing. So for me, it's running at least a mile every day. That has given me, that's my me time. I believe Kimbrell said that she had to have her me time. That's my me time. That's when I reflect on what has happened during the day, or I plan for what's going to happen, or I just reflect on what could I have done better in a situation, or, you know, just all kinds of things happen when you're in your me space. So I encourage you all to find something that you can do similar to that. And, you know, who knows? I never thought I would be running for over 1600 days now, but it just shows what you can do when you put your mind to it. And, I promise you, if you do something like that, it's given me kind of a different view of myself as well. Something I can be proud of that is just a little thing, but it's something that I can always, when the day's going wrong or the day's been long, I can say, hey, you know what? I can do this because I have done this. I have run for every day, so I can handle this. Another thing. Oh, go ahead.
And you do that inside on a treadmill sometimes and outside. So you found ways to kind of accommodate for bad weather days.
Yes, I do. And it might be 11:45 p.m. at night after 4 basketball games and whatever else my husband and I have attended for our school. But yes, the treadmill helps me be able to keep that even in the cold weather days or when we have snow. Or rain, like Jessica's getting. Right. Another great self-care and wellness, Kimbrell spoke about this one too, is family. I love to support my family. I love to support my kids. And the thing I can tell you that's helped me the most in that aspect is just being in the moment. I used to find myself being at my children's events and thinking, oh, I have this I need to be doing, and I should be doing this, and I could, you know, I need to be at school working on this, or but I've come to the realization that our children are only little ones. They're only going to have that one ball game. They're only going to have that one music program, et cetera. So when I am with my children, I am in the moment. Be in the moment. Enjoy that moment. And that brings a balance as well. That brings a peace in your mind. Everything else will be taken care of. We know that. But that's something that gives me, it's great to be present and in the moment, and just kind of let things fall where they might at sometimes. And then finally, an attitude of gratitude. This helps me in so many ways because any negative situation, I immediately, I've trained myself now to turn that into some sort of positive. And it may not be a positive situation, but I can find the blessing in everything. And I encourage you to do that because so many times we hear in the media, we hear from parents, we hear from teachers, negative things. And so if you can find a positive in amongst the negative, then your health and wellness will go through the roof. So that's something that I've tried to make a commitment to do as well. And it takes time because it's very easy. Negativity, John Gordon speaks about the vampires in his book, The Energy Bus. And it is very true. You can be sucked into negativity so easy. And in our jobs, it is an easy thing to have happen as well. So if you have an attitude of gratitude, just, I'm blessed to be in this role. I'm blessed to be in my school. That sort of attitude, will definitely give your mind some peace as well. I think, Gracie,
Well, thank you. We wanted to open it up to our participants out there. And if you have any questions for our three panelists, if you want to type them into the chat box, we want to give you an opportunity to ask whatever questions you want.
So I see a question. Thank you so much for sharing. I would love to join the Voxer group Moms as Principals. Is there a specific person I should email? I just joined Voxer. So I would say, and Cass, I guess if you're okay with it, you can email either one of us and we can reach out to Lindsay Stumpenhorst, who is the admin of the group, and we can get that message to her. Or you can Vox us. I guess we can put in our Voxer handles, Cass, maybe?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can put in our Voxer handles and then you can reach out to us and then how about we connect that way? That might be the best way. What do you think, Cass?
Yes, absolutely. That sounds great.
Okay. So that's what we'll do. We'll put it in the chat.
And Cass, one of the participants wants to know how many students are in your district.
I see that. My elementary has about 220, but our district is all at one campus. So pre-K through 12, we have about 350.
And so just want to make sure, I know we've had some participants that have had to go to dismissal duty and bus duty, but this is recorded for NASP members. So you will be able to see the webinar in its entirety if you've had to leave or you want to go back over any of the points that any of the panelists have made. We do have a question about what podcast you might recommend.
So I'm going to open up my podcast and I'm going to take a look here. There's actually one that I listen to is called Brilliant Balance. And let's see, it's by Sherilyne Skolnicki. And she just talks about it's for females and the different challenges that we have to find balance, and she'll bring on lots of guest speakers. So that's one that I listen to a lot. It's called Brilliant Balance. I'll type it in.
Kimbrell, do you have any?
I know this is hard to maybe believe, but I am not a huge podcast person. I really do a lot of listening to things that are factual all the time. So when I do listen to podcasts, a lot of them are based on documentaries or based on true stories that have occurred. So it really doesn't speak to balance, but it does speak to balance as far as I use it as an avenue to learn more about what's going on outside of being a principal, but I don't use podcasts to listen about balance or about leadership. I listen to more of the kinds that are about true stories.
And Cass, it looks like someone wants to know how you use Voxer to give feedback to your teachers.
Oh, great question. Before I answer that, though, can I do have a podcast to suggest. It is Rise Podcast by Sarah Johnson.
You said Rise, R-I-S-E?
Yes, R-I-S-E. She is one of the authors. I meant to make sure that everybody had this book or was going to, or got this book. It's called Balance Like a Pirate. This is also a book that I gained from connections with others. Jessica K. Bean, Jessica Johnson, and Sarah Johnson are the authors. And they have so many good points in here about seeking balance in the four quadrants. Those are professional, personal, passionate. Oh, Jessica's got hers. Professional, personal, passion, and there's one more I'm forgetting. Positional. So, but Sarah Johnson, one of the authors, also has Rise Podcast, and she interviews women and women leaders. So that's a good one to check out. And then to answer your question about how I use Voxer for feedback with teachers, I will very quickly, once I leave their room, I will either send them a voice box, just something positive that I saw, because I like to leave them with something or not thinking that I was in there to play gotcha or to catch something that was going wrong. I want them to first get something positive from me. So I will either type them just a quick text. Sometimes I snap pictures of their teaching or something they're doing, and I can put that picture in Voxer just really quickly and say, you know, great job with this cooperative learning experience or whatever it was. So I can just quickly send them that, and then they know that recognize something that was in their classroom. And then I can also say, hey, can we get together on your planned time during such and such, you know, date? So I can kind of set a meeting to go over that observation with them at the same time. So it's just to me, it's quicker than trying to go back and hunt them down, or, you know, it's just something quick that I can give them quick feedback on.
Great. Well, I did have one question for all of you all too. What's the best advice that you have received as a woman leader? Best advice?
For me, it has been, and I shared it earlier, was about staying true to you. Stay true to who you are, and everything else will fall into place.
Okay. What about you, Kimbrell?
For me, it was, you don't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. I think the biggest thing is that you try your best and you stay focused on what you're trying to accomplish. That was probably the best advice, and I forget it, but I always go back to it.
What about you, Cass?
I think the best advice I got was from the first superintendent that I was a principal for. He said to me, surround yourself with great people, and you can be in the background, basically. And so I really try to do that. My teachers and staff are the best, I think. So I really try to give them the I don't know what the word is.
Well, that is good advice. I certainly think the people that you surround yourself with every day have a huge impact on us. So surrounding ourselves with those people that inspire us and are helpful to us and support us are good things when that happens. I know that the best advice I received lately was, you know, when I was presented with this opportunity to come to NASP, one of my friends said, you've got to go for it. You know, you just go for it. You think about all those great opportunities that are out there, and that you have the, I guess, confidence or the belief in yourself that, you know, you can do I mean, we are, women are just so strong and we can do these things. So sometimes you just have to go for it.
And it's scary, right? It's not scary. It's very frightening.
I'm saying it's not scary.
Yeah. Yes. But we need to just continue to push forward and
right.
Risk.
That's right. Be a risk taker. Absolutely. Any more questions out there that you all have for this great group of women? Because I know our time's kind of drawing to a close. Any last thoughts that you want to leave our participants with today?
I would say maybe what advice could we give other women leaders? I guess I would, there's three key things for me would be stay hungry to grow and keep stretching yourself. That don't ever feel like you've arrived and keep that fire burning. Also stay humble. So stay hungry, stay humble. No matter how high you rise and no matter what position you're in, what title you have, always stay humble. And lastly, be smart with your decisions. Be informed, be read up and think about what you can do to make some smart decisions. Not that you're not going to make mistakes, but find ways to keep your mind sharp. Find ways to stay on top of the latest information and because you want to come out rising on top, which I know all of you will.
So what advice do you have, Cass Nelson?
Oh, well, the advice that I would say is that just to remember that you can't do everything. And when you try to do everything, you can't do anything really to fidelity and to with excellence. So you have, like I said, you have to choose those things that are most important to you and do them passionately and know that you are not, we try to be superwomen,
right?
We cannot do everything. So
it's okay to say no. And say no. I think that's really hard for women because we do want to do it all. Mm-hmm. But that was a good lesson that I learned, that it is okay at times. You know your limits, and there are some times that you really would like to do something, but you know that it's just not the right time.
Right.
What about you, Kimbrow? Best advice for other women?
I would say know who you are and stay on the path. So our goals and our next steps often change. We rethink, but we know you really should know who you are to be able to refocus and stay centered and stay on the path to self-fulfillment and in supporting others. So that would be my advice.
Great. Well, I'm also really interested, especially feedback from our participants and our panelists. How might NASP provide additional support for women leaders? What might that look like? I mean, are there any ideas about that? We're very interested in making sure that we continue to provide that kind of support.
I had two ideas as we were talking. One thing was I was thinking was even like a Voxer group, especially for new, people who are new to Voxer and really showing them the power of connection, because we've experienced, I know for sure Cass and I have experienced the power of Voxer, and my gosh, when we go to NASP conferences, I don't know if you guys saw that picture of the red wagon up in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that picture, it all came together through Voxer, first of all. And you think about, you meet these people and it's like you've all known them for years and all you know is their voice, but yet you know so much about them and the connection is just another level. I've never experienced any other conference that when I go to different conferences, the same way that I experience NASP. Just because of the connections we've made. And you feel like you know everybody. You walk down the hall, you're saying, hi. So I think that would be an amazing thing to do especially if you're new, and it's a safe space for us to practice with Voxer and see the power in that. And the second thing I want to maybe some kind of a female leader academy or a female leader, something of that nature, because we deal with different types of issues.
Yes.
And we often we come home to kids and it's a whole nother, that's a whole nother hat to our family. Oh. And trying to manage all of that and the expectations that we put on ourselves and the obstacles we put in front of ourselves and working through all of that is, I think that would be amazing.
Great. Any other ideas out there for NASP? Well, real quickly, if you all had to talk about your hashtag, like your mantra, if you were doing a hashtag today, what would that be?
That's a tough one. For me, I'm going to go back to probably hashtag be true to you.
Be true to you. What about you, Cass?
I would say hashtag, well, I've used this one for years and years. Hashtag it starts with me.
Right. Heard that. And Kim Brown?
So I absolutely love Matthew McConaughey and his slogan is just keep living. And I love to follow that hashtag, but I would say just keep going. Hashtag right. Just keep going.
Well, I wanted to kind of close out today and share my good friend, Cass Nelson, gave me this book when I made my big move to NAESP, and I just thought it was just a great way to close out today because I think of all the great women leaders I know, especially our elementary principal group and all of the many hats you wear, like Cass said, and all of the different roles you play in different people's lives and what a challenging day-to-day job that is and how amazing so many women that I know are at that. But it's because you're brave. And so I just wanted to close out by reading a little bit from When You Are Brave, and it says, because once you find your courage, it's easy to use again and again. The next time life seems scary or you start something new, you can remember when you were brave, and then you can stand straight and walk tall. And I thank all of you for walking tall every day. Not just for NAESP, but for your schools and your districts and the work that you do. So thank you for doing this today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you to everybody who was here.